Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 21st of April, 2014, the podcast that sings the body electric. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jonathan Lochey. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back.
So let's audit the news of the bogus. And Jonathan, you have our first story for us?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of been news about government spending, government entitlement, especially with Obamacare ramping up. Now on the latest U.S. Census Bureau, pretty scary statistic. There are 86 million full-time private sector workers.
That sounds kind of low for a population of 300 million and 100 million households.
Yes, there's not even one private sector worker per household in America anymore.
Wow.
Yes, so that's perhaps even scarier statistic, however. 148 million Americans are receiving some type of benefit from the government.
Now, when you say some type of benefit, what are you talking about?
148 million, that is essentially food stamps, Medicaid, Social Security check, basically any money you get from the government aside from, I believe, various veteran benefits were excluded from that.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, basically that 86 million private workers are having to sustain the benefits for 148 million government welfare recipients.
Wow.
Yeah, that is some scary stuff. The Census Bureau went on, let's see here. 82 million Americans lived in a household where one or more people were on Medicaid. 49 million Americans received food stamps last year. 23 million got WIC. And this is really scary. Over 20 million Americans last year got SSI.
Wow.
SSI is essentially Social Security for people who are too disabled to even pay in.
Right.
So that's, what, 1 in 11?
Yeah, that's upward of about 7%.
Lovely. Let's see, 13.4 million lived in either public housing or housing subsidized through Section 8.
Now, how much of this is double counted? You've got people who are getting a Social Security check and they're on food stamps or whatever.
That is a good question. Yeah, that I am not quite sure if they are controlling for that.
Oh, I see it here. It says there were 108,592,000 people in the fourth quarter of 2011 who lived in a household that included people on one or more means-tested program, and that outnumbered the 86,429,000 full-time private sector workers who inhabited the United States in 2012 by almost 1.3 to 1.
And keep in mind, this is even before Obamacare went full on, so...
Yeah, and we've also got the baby boomers retiring.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're starting to hit the capstone of the pyramid scheme.
Well, I mean, we've talked before about how even if it's all constant, it's unsustainable because you hit that exponential growth problem. But here, there's just more people, more people, more people. The jobs aren't coming back.
Right.
The economy's just languishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, one of the things about Obamacare is it's actually resulting in more people getting onto Medicaid. Because what happens is, even though they promised you can keep your plan, you can't keep your plan, so you have to go onto the exchange. But a lot of people who try are getting this message that, oh, you qualify for Medicaid, therefore you can't buy on the exchange. You have to go to your state and get Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nice little trap right there.
Yeah, it's... wish somebody would give me the direction of the Gulch.
Never have so few done so much for so many. Okay, so just this week we've had Tax Day, April 15th. That's the deadline to send in your income tax return. And most people who get a tax return, I think, are happy when they get it, because apparently they don't stop to think that this was money they worked to earn to begin with. But it seems like there are some people who are getting kind of a big shock. According to the Washington Post, quote, around the nation, hundreds of thousands of taxpayers who are expecting refunds this month are instead getting letters like the one Mary Grice of Tacoma Park, Maryland got, informing them that because of a debt they never knew about, often a debt incurred by their parents, the government has confiscated their check.
Gotta love Uncle Sam. Gotta pay for Obamacare somehow.
Well, apparently this is all due to one sentence that kind of stuck in the farm bill. And I've actually got the reference here. It's section 14219E1, quote, "Notwithstanding any other provision of law, regulation, or administrative limitation, no limitation on the period which an offset may be initiated or taken pursuant to this section shall be effective." So, in other words, they can go back 10 years, find this really old debt that your parents owed, and go after you for it. So if they owed back taxes or they were overpaid Social Security, which apparently happened a lot, the IRS can just take your refund and put it towards that. And you don't set foot in the courtroom. You don't have any right of appeal or anything like that.
Yeah. You got to get money to pay for a very expensive, bloated government.
But, I mean, they're going by these cases that are 10 years old or more, and that's long past the time when most financial records are kept. You know, the government tells you to keep 7 years of records. So when they do come after that, they don't have any way of defending it. The IRS doesn't take them to court. It just takes the money. The only way they can get the money back is to sue the IRS, which puts the burden of proof on them.
That's just the way they like it, too. I think you or I realize that this is unconstitutional as hell, but the powers that be in Washington are finally kind of realizing, hey, we need money to fund all this.
Yeah.
Between the debt and Obamacare, somebody has to pay for it.
Yeah. But, I mean, there should not be anything to cause you to be liable for a debt owed by your parents. I mean, the only exception would be something like if you inherited a house and the house still had a mortgage on it and you sign a piece of paper that says, yes, I'm taking on to this debt, so I owe this mortgage and I have to pay on this mortgage. Unless there's something like that where you've voluntarily taken on the debt, no one can come to you to make you pay the debt owed by a parent. And if a bank or something else did this, you know, could you imagine the outcry? But now here comes the IRS, and, well, there you go.
Shane, that's just clearly not how the government works.
Yeah.
Like, the a debt because of overpayment on Social Security. So, because the government screwed up and handed out more than what it should have, you know, if it's a private business, it's not like if you go out to Applebee's or Chili's and they give you a double portion of fries, they're going to come and just have your order the next time.
Or they give you $10 change instead of $5 change or whatever, and they're coming at you for the extra $5.
Yeah.
Well, there was a bit of an outcry, and as a result, the Social Security Administration has promised not to collect on debts more than 10 years old. Really, honest, they swear. But nothing is being done to stop the fact that they can just arbitrarily take your money, absent any legal proceedings, and it turns the entire concept of justice, burden of proof, and innocent until proven guilty on its head.
F the IRS.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. Okay, we just played the LastPass promo, and there's something that's been going on. It isn't really a news item, but it's something I thought I should mention. There's a pretty huge bug going out there on a lot of websites. It's called the Heartbleed bug, if you want to search it and read up on it. But it looks like there was the opportunity to have sensitive information like your password and their site certificate to be retrieved by hackers. And just to let you know, LastPass.com was one of the affected websites. But remember, they don't have your password. They don't even have a hash of your password. They don't have your encryption keys. All they have is that encrypted blob. So they fixed their site, they patched it, and now it's fine, but your information there was never vulnerable. But they do have a security check that you should do every so often. You just log into the website and look down the left side of the page, and you'll see it there, and it analyzes all your websites and passwords for things like weak passwords or passwords you use on more than one website. But now they've added in a part of that at the top that shows you what sites in your vault were vulnerable to this bug and whether or not they've been fixed. So if a site is vulnerable and they haven't updated their certificate, it'll tell you what site it is, and then it'll say wait. If they have, it'll say go update, and you can click on that and go and change your password on that website. So there's a lot of kind of panic about that, like, oh, you need to go and change all your passwords everywhere. No, you don't need to change all of them, only on affected sites. And I have like over 400 passwords saved in LastPass, and there was only like 15 sites that were vulnerable. But those sites included things like Dropbox, Google, Metacafe, Netflix, Reddit, The Pirate Bay, Yahoo, Facebook, Instagram, and Wikipedia. So there's some pretty big heavy hitters there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also have BlipTV and Crack.com, but they haven't updated their certificates yet. So definitely go check that out and see if you have any passwords on these vulnerable sites. And if they have, once they've fixed it and once they've changed their certificate, go and change your password. All right, so John, you got another IRS story for us?
Yep, Lee. You know it's April, and this everyone's favorite, well, now former Congressman Ron Paul. The IRS is threatening to fine activist group Campaign for Liberty because the Campaign for Liberty refuses to turn over their donor lists.
Then they're not a PAC, if I remember correctly, so I don't think they have to turn over their donor list.
They are a... They're a 501c4.
Ah, okay, yeah.
501c4 organizations are generally civic leagues or other corporations operated exclusively for the promotion of quote-unquote social welfare. Unlike a 501c3, they may also participate in political campaigns and elections as long as their primary activity is promotion of social welfare. The tax exemption for 501c4 organizations applies to most operations, but contributions may be subject to gift tax, and income spent on political activities is taxable.
Yeah, whereas PACs and political parties are 527s, and there's a whole different set of rules that goes with them, and that's where you get stuff like the reporting requirements. But the Campaign for Liberty is generally the organization credited with really kicking the Tea Party movement into high gear.
Mm-hmm. They sort of kept the Ron Paul fever alive in between his 08 and his 2012 runs. So, Ron Paul didn't come out and say it point blank, but I think he certainly... it certainly seems to fall in line with the other targeting of Tea Party groups that the IRS had done in the past.
Yeah.
So, this administration certainly has a history of not even being subtle about putting the boot heel to any opposition, so... This is just further evidence of that.
Well, why should they? I mean, he can drone bomb civilians and then follow it up 10 minutes later with another one to get the first responders, and no one says boo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you have to do?
God knows.
I honestly think he could rape a child on TV and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a couple of episodes debunking this organic garbage. And, of course, most of it is just wildly inaccurate claims about organic foods and the fact that they can't be shown to be any more nutritious than regular food, and they aren't any safer either. In fact, you're more likely to get E. coli poisoning from organic foods.
But it's natural, Shane.
Well, as it turns out, the organic food industry has known this the whole time and has been deliberately misleading the public to spread fear and misinformation, ironically enough, exactly what they accuse the rest of the agricultural industry of doing.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. This is based on a report from Academics Review, which looked at both scientific data and organic industry marketing and concluded, quote, "The research findings which follow show that organic food marketers were well informed and repeatedly warned that absent consumer food safety concerns about less expensive, conventionally grown foods, organic sector sales opportunities would be limited. An extensive review of market research published over the past 25 years by organic and natural product marketers corroborated by peer-reviewed published academic and government-funded studies, reveals that perceived safety concerns tied to pesticides, hormones, antibiotics, and GMOs are the critical component driving sales in the organic food sector. Our review suggests a widespread organic and natural products industry pattern of research-informed and intentionally deceptive marketing and advocacy-related practices, with the implied use and approval of the U.S. government-endorsed USDA organic seal.
Yeah, and it is a shame because part of this is fueled out of a genuine desire in consumers to try and eat healthy and live better. Nothing against that.
Well, I mean, it's not the consumers that are the problem. It's the marketers that are preying on them with all this misinformation. People want to eat healthier. They eat organic and they spend all this extra money for organic foods thinking they're eating healthier, and they're just not.
It's actually pretty funny because try to go to like farmers markets and stuff to pick up fruits and vegetables. There's this one guy there who sells like a bunch of like Asian fruits and veggies that you really can't find anywhere else. Long story short, I guess everybody just assumed he was organic because you couldn't find the vegetables anywhere else. And he's like, no, I just get these from wherever.
So does he grow it himself?
No, I don't know who his supplier is, but...
But yeah, they know there's no justification for this, quote, "The research is well known and shared throughout the organic marketing industry via trade shows, market research publication, trade and mainstream media publications. Organic industry CEOs, marketing directors, and research consultants are quoted in sales presentations, financial analyst meetings, and news interviews, acknowledging consumer food scares and health risk concerns are key components to organic market growth. Some openly acknowledge that the industry should engage in fear-based marketing. Our review of the top 50 organic food marketers finds these practices to be pervasive throughout the industry and not simply by a few bad actors. These activities have contributed to false and misleading consumer health and safety perceptions influencing food purchase decisions. These findings suggest a widespread organic and natural products industry pattern of research-informed and intentionally deceptive marketing and advocacy-related practices that have generated hundreds of billions of dollars in revenues."
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't anything really new. I mean, I remember the episode of Penn & Teller's Bullshit that was talking about the organics food industry. Because the big thing, I mean, like, gluten-free.
Yeah.
I mean, practically every bit of research shows that very few people have that allergy. But my God, it seems like half the stuff in the grocery store now has to say gluten-free on it.
And most of it was gluten-free already.
Yeah.
Bananas, gluten-free! Okay, great. Yeah. No.
Gluten-free Tabasco sauce.
Wow, who'd have thought? I've been looking for that all over the place. But of course, the thing, whenever there's something like this going on, everyone says, oh, we need government to save us from these greedy capitalists. Well, if that's what you're thinking, think again. Quote, USDA's own research confirms that food safety and health risk concerns associated with conventional foods combined with consumer trust and confidence in the USDA organic seal are responsible for the significant growth and corresponding profits enjoyed by the organic industry since the seal's launch in 2001. As a result, the American taxpayer-funded National Organic Program is playing an ongoing role in misleading consumers into spending billions of dollars in organic purchasing decisions based on false and misleading health, safety, and quality claims. Further, U.S. government agencies, including the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, Federal Trade Commission, and U.S. Department of Agriculture, which entrusted with the authority to enforce truthful, non-misleading consumer protections against such abuses, have either ignored or become complicit in these marketing abuses.
You're telling me the government is corrupt and is up to the highest bidder?
Yeah, who'd have thought, huh?
Yeah.
Couldn't have seen that one coming.
I don't know. I live on a diet of Hot Pockets, so.
Are they gluten-free?
Hell no.
But they really bring it home on the last line of the report. Quote, "It would be interesting to see what would happen if a corresponding product disparagement campaign by conventional food industry competitors was run. It is likely any similar types of disparagement marketing and use of false or misleading health claims to increase conventional sales would result in condemning media headlines and editorials, mass tort legislation, and congressional hearings.
Yeah, I mean, erase organic from all that and put Walmart.
Yeah, or Monsanto.
Yeah, this is literally just the same things that the organic zealots accused Monsanto and Walmart of doing, they were doing all along.
Oh yeah, it's just projection, and that's how it always is. See what they complain about the loudest. You know, it's just like you hear of all these televangelists who just keep barking on and on about homosexuality, and then it turns out they're off hiring gay prostitutes and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, in college football, the two rival fan bases are like, oh, the players on that school are all rowdy and devious miscreants. All players are angels and saints. And then all of a sudden, oh, what? They got into a fight at a frat party and two guys got stabbed? No, those are just bad players.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that was just a couple of bad guys, and you can't let them stain the hole. Except when it's the other guys, you see, that's typical of them. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.pagosity.tv, you won't pay a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.pagosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Pagosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.pagosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.pagosity.tv. And now it's time to correlate stupidity with this week's biggest bogon emitter. And John, you have this week's recipient for us?
Yes, this week's recipient is David Kirby of the Huffington Post.
Them again.
Mm-hmm. For pretty much, oh God, I'm trying, I don't even know it, Urge to Kill rising.
Feeling a nap violation coming on.
Yeah, it's for just regurgitating blatantly false, debunked multiple times statistics, but in the article he wrote, the Federal Vaccine Inquiry Compensation Program, better known as Vaccine Court, has awarded millions of dollars to two children with autism for pain and suffering and lifelong care of their injuries. Now, this is the big thing that he doesn't even gloss over. The government did not admit that vaccines caused autism in these children.
Well, that's how the program works, because if you were to sue, like, someone who made Vicodin or whatever and you got sick from it and sued them, you would have to establish causation, that there was actually something in the pills that made you that way. With this vaccine court, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is show they got the vaccine and then something bad happened. It's totally correlational and there's no show of causation at all.
So you're telling me the absence of pirates really has caused global warming?
If you could tie it into vaccines, you could go to vaccine court and get some money for it.
God bless America.
We could do that. Have a little graph showing the number of vaccines going up and then another graph for global temperatures. Ah, see, there you go. Vaccines cause global warming. Let's go sue them and get some money.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, parents, grandparents, friends, neighbors of both children testified they were developmentally normal, if not advanced for their age, when they developed seizures, fevers, and other adverse reactions to vaccines. The children never recover, instead began losing vocabulary, eye contact, and other classic symptoms of regressive autism.
But that's normal for autism. That's how it normally goes. And I mean, the thing about this is, in all these cases, you hear people coming into the press, oh, vaccines gave my child autism. They have this, they have that, they have this, they have that. Well, can we see their medical records? No, those are private.
Mm-hmm. The parents who did not want to be interviewed specifically heard that Ryan had suffered a vaccine table injury, namely an encephalopathy, as a result of the MMR vaccinations on December 19th, 2003. Table injuries are known compensatable adverse reactions to immunizations.
Yeah, I mean, this thing about encephalopathy, it's been going on for a while, and I'm putting a link in the show notes to a review from Pediatrics and Child Health called Genetics and the Myth of Vaccine Encephalopathy. It's a really good review of the data. But, I mean, with encephalopathy, you can actually kind of sort of see a pathway for how that can result in autism. So someone gets encephalitis, and it damages a part of their brain, and it does it in such a way that they're not able to use the normal prefrontal cortex for the communication and social functions. They have to go and use the motor cortex as well. And that's a fairly classic pattern of autism. The problem is, no one can show it happening even once. And even if they could, because I think they specifically mentioned the MMR vaccine, don't they?
Yes, our good old friend.
You're much more likely to get encephalopathy from measles than you are from any vaccine. There's never been shown to be a single example of a vaccine resulting in encephalopathy, but measles, that's a whole other matter.
But measles are natural, Shane, and organic.
That's true. Yeah, so in this paper they say, quote, "The possibility that immunizations may cause seizures or epilepsy is another potential concern, and indeed febrile seizures have been shown to occur at an increased rate after vaccination. However, there is no evidence to suggest that the fever caused by vaccines predisposes a person to seizures any more than fevers from other causes. This is reinforced by the fact that children with seizures after vaccination are no more likely to go on to have afebrile seizures or developmental problems than children who have febrile seizures from other causes. Overall, there is no evidence to suggest that vaccines cause central nervous system injury, epilepsy, or infantile spasms."
Vax can be a bitch sometimes.
Yeah.
At this point, I think we just have to say vaccine denial is just a religion.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much the same old, but it's enough to get David Kirby named this week's biggest bogon emitter. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 35% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address, or establish your online business in a snap, all for 35% off. Or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for special offers on GoDaddy products.
Get great savings on quality internet services. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now let's clip the right wing of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes to J. Pepper Byers for his op-ed, Libertarianism Isn't an Alternative to the Republican Party.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so what he says is, quote, I understand its appeal. I like libertarians and can read Ludwig von Mises and listen to Murray Rothbard all day long. But it isn't an alternative. It's an electoral distraction.
Yeah.
This trend should worry conservatives, especially since the libertarian candidate cost the GOP votes and victory in last year's gubernatorial election in Virginia. And you know what? I am really sick to death of this spoiler argument. How many times does it need to be debunked? The reasons why the Republicans lost the election in Virginia is because they ran a crappy candidate.
Yeah, in fact, I think the exit polls by both the Washington Post and CNN, the people who voted for Robert Sarver is pretty much... I think the majority of people who voted for Sarver said they otherwise would have just sat home and not voted.
Yeah, but it just goes to show how little the Republicans are for personal responsibility. Their failure just has to be the fault of somebody else.
Hey, what more can you expect?
Well, Democrats are no different. Remember Al Gore?
They were using the internet because of his divine magic?
Well, I'm talking about in 2000 when Ralph Nader cost him the election.
Ah, yes.
But if he had taken his home state of Tennessee, he would have won. If he had taken Bill Clinton's home state of Arkansas, he would have won. Ralph Nader didn't lose it for Al Gore. Al Gore lost it for Al Gore. So anyway, quote, Libertarianism, as far as I can tell, demands consistent application of its beliefs, regardless of their impact. Yeah, so apparently they hate consistency too. Big surprise. Quote, Responses to an issue must always be X, no matter if X is harmful or unwanted. No, sorry, that's their idea, forcing everyone into a one-size-fits-all policy, regardless of how many people it hurts.
Right, and I especially like this next example. Libertarians take a principle, the right to keep and bear arms, and stretch it to cover the right to own any weapon. You know, isn't the GOP supposed to be the party that loves the Second Amendment?
So I thought. But he talks about, so if you don't believe that your neighbor has a right to carry a rocket-propelled grenade launcher, you might not be a libertarian. But I think Murray Rothbard wrote pretty clearly where the line was drawn. If it's a weapon that cannot be directed specifically against an aggressor, then it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. So obviously something like a nuclear bomb.
Right.
So.
Quote, Consistency isn't a virtue in government. Its application will eventually end in tyranny or chaos. Well, actually, we'd like consistency in government. Because all the time we're pointing out inconsistencies and the harm they cause. Just earlier in this podcast, we bemoan the inconsistency of the IRS in going after children to cover the debts of parents when no private company would be allowed to do so. We should have consistency, not different rules for thee than for me.
Mm-hmm. Or I love this one. If you believe our borders should be enforced and illegal aliens deported, you might not be a libertarian. How many people were deported last year? Like 5 million?
I don't even remember.
And most of them weren't even for any type of violent offense, or it was basically just because they didn't cross their T in the proper manner with the right color ink.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree with that one. Using force against peaceful people means you're not a libertarian. So I'm glad he's getting the idea. Well, he also goes into the education thing, quote, So only children whose parents could afford tuition would get educations. Our nation would collapse in a generation. Wow, why does this guy sound just like a progressive Democrat?
Yes, because the public schools of Alabama are cracking out Einsteins every year.
Yeah, but the only way you can educate kids is to have the government do it. Otherwise, it's just for the rich. It's not like the private schools have scholarships out the wazoo trying to get as many poor people as they can in there.
You couldn't tell me, though, that there wouldn't be schools set up specifically to help the poor.
Right.
Granted, of course, I would have to go along with the way of IE not having to get a teaching certificate every year and all the other erroneous BS that causes the biggest shortage of teachers every year.
Yeah. And having to get a master's degree in completely irrelevant stuff.
Did I ever tell you, I don't know if I told you the story on the podcast, that one of the guys who actually helped invent the CAT scan taught physics at my high school for 2 years.
Oh, cool.
And the district fired him because he refused to take a certification exam for basic physics.
Wow. So he had to prove to them that he knows physics, even though he's one of the inventors of the CAT scan.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be about that slip of paper. It can't be about anything actually scientific or anything like that. That's the bureaucrat mentality. But, I mean, here's the real kicker. It may be for entirely the wrong reasons, but he's right. We're not an alternative to the Republican Party. We're not against gay marriage. We won't ban abortions. We're for open borders and drug legalization. We're against war. We're for complete church-state separation. And we want to stop the subsidies to corporations and industries that Republicans like, just like we want to do with the ones Democrats like. You know, that consistency thing again.
Well, let me go this way. We have a different set of friends we want to give that money to, the American people.
Well, we just want to let people keep the money they earn. They don't really want to give it to anyone.
Yeah.
They don't want to take it in the first place. So no, we're not an alternative to the Republican Party. We're so much better than that. So go ahead, J. Pepper Briers. Cling on to your outdated good old boys network and keep spreading the bogosity that proves you guys have no place in an enlightened 21st century society. Because the only thing you'll achieve from it is being named this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this You Didn't Use Canned Salmon, Did You? edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free, but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page, and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jonathan Loche for joining me.
Great to be back.
Until next time, here's a quote from Eugene Gendlin. What is true is already so. Owning up to it doesn't make it worse. People can stand what is true, for they are already enduring it. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Bogosity. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again. For how that can result in autism, so someone gets encephalitis.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a dog?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a dog out of the pound. So.
Okay, what kind is it?
A pit bull.
Aw. Male or female?
Female.
Oh, I bet she's sweet.
Well, not when she... Well, that's the thing. I think she's trying to tell me she wants to go to the bathroom because when she gets like this.
Okay.
Big girl. Oh, it's funny because the cats have more or less gotten to the point of getting used to her. But the one cat I have, he's still kind of, if he like makes sudden movements, he gets pissed. And he gets to the point where like he'll just sit there and get all puffed up. And when he growls, it's like, it's basically like an outboard motor on a boat.
Yeah, but rescues will be so sweet. They have abandonment issues. And so if you show them you're a loving owner and you're a good alpha to them, they'll really become attached to you.
Yeah, that's the one thing. That's, like, if I go out to like the grocery store or something, I do have to have a crate for her still.
Yeah.
But, she starts whining and gets all betwixt if I leave her.
Or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. That is very distracting.
Yeah, she definitely needs to go pee.
Okay.